Welcome to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. We all contemplate making changes in our lives that would allow us to live more authentically, but it can be hard to take action. Allison is here to educate, equip, and empower you with the tools you need to start authentically living life your way. Get ready to eradicate your limitations and destructive patterns as you take full responsibility for your own happiness. This show is not just talk. It is conversation for profound self-awareness, acceptance, and appreciation, the key elements to stepping into the power as the creator of your very best life. The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe starts now.
Hey everyone, and welcome. You're listening to The Alley Effect, authentically living life your way with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. This is our space, our time to talk about this concept of authenticity and how to help you tune so much more inward in a world that really commands so much and that outward focus. Hopefully this is your space to be able to tune in and think about authentically living life your way. So I have an interesting topic today that I think if you stick with me, you'll begin to take a little bit of a turn and a fresh perspective on this thing called commodities. We're going to dive deep into some different categories of commodities, but I want you to imagine if every single day, I think I might have a brand new way to be your very best friend. If every single day, just for waking up and getting yourself out of bed, I granted you $1,440. Like, would you not just be like, ta-da, it's morning, I'm getting up, where is she? Like, right, and there I was, just doling it out, $1,440. Well, we will go through that month, and during the course of that entire month, I then grant you $43,829. Like, pretty cool. Now, mind you, $43,000 is probably more than some people make in a year, maybe for some people even in several years. $43,000 in that entire month to spend however you wanted to spend it. Now, we've spent an entire year together, and you've gotten up and gotten out of bed every single day. And with that, throughout the course of the year, $525,949. Think about that. 1 year, $525,000 that I have granted you. Like, absolutely mind-blowing, life-changing. So think about that word, commodity. What comes to your mind? When I put it in Google, which you know that I do at this point, I put it in Google and the search came up. I was like, oh my gosh, there were over 337 million results in Google, 337 million. Most of them were aligned with what I think most people would think about when you use the word commodity. It was about money, words like rich or real estate, investments. We are very much a money-minded society. And when I use that word commodity, almost everyone thinks about the word money or something to have to do with it. We are definitely a society trained to think about that. And it's a defining component. Money is absolutely a defining component when it comes to a sense of self or your esteem, your personal value, and definitely even your worth and existence. It runs deep. Maybe you've gotten a lot of messages about how to earn money, spend it, how to save it, how to invest it. Maybe you've gotten even messages about hoarding it or wasting it. What was your experience with money and what messages have you gotten? When you were a very little person, did you get, did you have experiences with the tooth fairy? That even just for losing a little tooth, did you wake up in the morning to have maybe some change or now these days, some bucks underneath your pillow for just even losing a tooth, being able to walk away from that experience with some money in your pocket? Did you have a piggy bank and all your extra dimes and dollars went right into that piggy bank? If you were contributing somehow to the household or for a specific task or even in the neighborhood, did you get paid to do things for your efforts and for your chores? Yeah. A lot of us had early experiences that kind of trained us about earning money or spending money. Did you advance that then later into an economics class? I know for me, that material went in one ear and out the other. Not my jam. Didn't really understand it. But were you really aligned with some of the economics that you were learning early on in life? And then did you go on to get some type of degree in finance or money management, banking, whatever it is? And did you even develop a career somehow associated with this financial industry? We have gurus who educate us and really have passion and a mission. People like Dave Ramsey or Susie Orman, who have these entire programs about how to earn and how to be deliberate and intentional about money and where it goes and how to invest it and how to spend it. I mean, we get a lot of messages and opportunities about this valuable commodity of money. Do you have experience with learning how to budget? And I think one of the benefits, maybe one of the realities of money, is that oftentimes there's a tangible consequence to overspending. There's a cost to it, whether it be added interest, whether it be late payment fees. If we are not managing money, it can be as drastic as a consequence of something like bankruptcy or repossession that happens. You're not minding your P's and Q's with your bucks. There tend to be some tangible consequences. I wonder for you, if you had to identify your relationship with money, how would you identify it? Do you just kind of have the safety and trust that like it's always been there, it's always going to be there, it's no big deal? Do you just kind of have this assurance that money is always available and it's fine? Do you have kind of this sense of generosity and you're very likely to give and to contribute? Or is the opposite true? Do you have kind of this clutching and clinging energy towards money, scarcity, deprivation, or even fear? People have a lot of different interpretation, experience, and relationship with money, and it's actually very multifaceted in how people approach it. For some people, on the personal level, and even in your household, you have this experience or this way that you use money, the way that it comes in, the way that it goes out. Maybe you use it to support an image that you're trying to create on the outside with your home and your appearance, whatever it may be. Maybe for you, it's a reflection of your success, your satisfaction, and even your stability in life, the way that you use and earn and spend your money. Maybe it's a bottom line measurement for your personal sense of self, your esteem, your happiness, and even your value and worth as a human being. Maybe you've got your personal level and you're also very incorporated in business, that you're mindful and educated about how to budget and your checks and balances. Maybe you know terms like quarterly reports and profit and loss, that you know that you've got a pretty money-minded sense about things. Maybe for you, it's a spiritual component and the way that you approach money. You are very generous with it, and you are willing to see that you, in your tithe or in your contribution to other people or other charities, you have the ability to actually make a big difference in the world. How money-minded are you when you think about your own sense of happiness, satisfaction, well-being, love? Like, where does your mind go when you think about this thing called commodity? We have all met the richest of rich people who are absolutely the poorest of poor in spirit. Really, that the idea that we all know on a logical level that money can't buy love, money can't buy happiness. Now, I'm not going to convince you, and you're not going to convince me, that money doesn't make a difference in the world. I'm not here to say that money is bad or wrong or evil or that it doesn't make a difference. That's naive. Of course it does. How padded our pockets are can often make a big difference in how we approach life and our sense of safety, security, and well-being. What I'm addressing with you too, though, is another set of values, another set of commodities, that it isn't A plus B equals C. Having money and being able to have some sense of value in the world does not equate to this sense of happiness and well-being. There are some other pieces and parts that go along so much more with creating this idea of happiness and satisfaction, even success. I remember traveling to a different country, and I was on horseback and traveling through this village, and we were taking a tour of the ocean on these horses. I mean, just an unbelievable experience. And we traveled through this village, and I remember seeing this small child in this poverty belly, and he had an eye that had been damaged somehow. And that child had a smile beyond any smile I could have ever embraced. I mean, the preciousness of his spirit to just see strangers and his joy and attitude. That child lived in a hut with dirt floors, right? We know that happiness doesn't equate, money doesn't equate automatically to happiness. So what is it? What are the things that really allow people to be happy? Have you ever taken the time to think about how is it that I would define success? What is it for me that makes me feel happy, content, peaceful? So again, I went to, this wasn't dictionary.com, this was actually Merriam-Webster. I looked up the word commodity, and what I found is that it's identified through Merriam-Webster as something that is useful or valued. And I was like, huh, it didn't mention money. And there was no term about investing or real estate or anything like that. It was simply put as something useful or valued. It really got me thinking. And it also helped me understand that it's such an individual definition, because what you may find useful or valued might not be what I find, and vice versa. So I wonder, have you ever taken the time to really think about for yourself, to really self-define, which is a tool I talk about, what is it that helps you be happy? If you had to identify your definition or your version of success, what is it that you would identify? What would you write down? What are the things that you find useful or valuable in life? Have you ever taken the time to really define and clarify what these things mean to you? I do encourage you to self-define, because most people just fall in line. Remember, we talked before about the reticular activating system in the visioning workshop. We talked about the way the brain becomes hijacked by autopilot and the familiar. Have you just fallen in line with what's expected of you? You're a doctor because your dad was a doctor, or you're a lawyer because your family told you that that was the right thing to do. This is your opportunity. When we come back, we're going to address three valuable commodities that I've found in my course and work with people that are far outweigh the value of money. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to address these three valuable commodities. You're listening to The Ally Effect, Authentically Living Life Your Way, with me, Allison Blythe, Certified Life Coach and Licensed Clinical Social Worker. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about these three commodities.
Excuse me, did you say Sanskrit? Yes, absolutely. Sanskrit is the language of the universe. The word Sanskrita means pure and perfectly formed. When we're still, open and receptive, we may hear a still small voice within. We feel a simple resonance with this universal language, and we just know that the voice is true. That inner voice speaks to us in a language that is always pure and perfectly formed. It's Sanskrita that speaks to us out of the silence. Sanskrit is also the name of a language that is found in dictionaries and great works of profound wisdom. It's the closest reflection of that perfect universal language. Study of this powerful language can lead us to an understanding of that perfect inner voice. Join me, Sarah Main, on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover this true inner voice of the soul together. And check out my website, dhammayanti.store.
Close your eyes and imagine what it would feel like to live a life driven by purpose and passion. Feels great, doesn't it? Tune in to Awareness to Action every first and third Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific with me, Joan Marlowe. I'm here to help you navigate your unique journey toward purpose while embracing your authenticity. Visit my website, peacefullyhealing.com, and don't miss Awareness to Action on transformationtalkradio.com.
We're back here on The Allie Effect, Authentically Living Life Your Way, with me, Allison Blythe, Certified Life Coach and Licensed Clinical Social Worker. If you want to be in touch with me about anything that you have heard in the past on this episode, or certainly anything you would like to hear more about, please feel free to reach out to me. I would love to hear from you. If you want to call me, 859-341-7773 is my landline, where you can always leave me a message. If you want to visit my website just to check out a little bit more about me and my perspective in the world, it's allisonblythe.com. Maybe you've got a more extensive question. You want to send me an email, or you want to share anything with me about this thing today we're talking about, commodities, or anything else we've worked on in the past. It's allisonblythe@live.com. And if you just need your daily booster and you want to get a little shot of positivity, then feel free to check out any information I have on social media platforms, where you can find me at Allison Blythe Life Coach. So, do you remember when I first started this and we started talking about this idea that you got out of bed and in that time I gave you $1,440? And then we had spent the entire year together. And at the end of that year, you had been granted $525,949. You remember that? I don't think I would forget that. I don't know as though I would ever forget an experience like that. The idea of being granted that much money. Okay, well, I'm going to switch this. We talked about commodities. And the idea that though we are a very money-minded society and the power of money, the illusion of control and status and success and happiness, and how that's interwoven into the messages of our society, I'm going to shift that gift that you're granted every single day. I'm going to take away that money. And instead, what I'm going to tune you into is that every single day, just for getting out of bed, you are granted 1,440 minutes. During the course of every single month, you get that entire month to spend 43,829 minutes any way you want to spend it. 43,000 minutes any way you want. And now you've had an entire year. And during the course of that year, 525,949 minutes have transpired, and they've all been yours. Would you wake up with the same type of enthusiasm, like, what's going to happen today? Without that valuable commodity of money, we just instead hand you the reality that you now have 1,440 minutes. Do you have the same excitement and enthusiasm? Or do you just kind of go, oh, would you trade in the money for the time? It's an interesting perspective, because what I have found is that time is actually the most valuable resource we can ever be granted. My friends, once we spend it, you can never, ever, ever get it back. And how you spend it is fundamentally one of the most single determining factors of the quality of your life. We can always earn more money. I mean, there are so many things that we can do, sell, trade. I mean, money is a very fluid commodity that comes, it goes, we've got it, we don't. Like, though we are a money-minded, high-priority society that focuses so much on that commodity, what I want to tune you into and what I'm hoping is, in the face of authenticity, really authentically living life your way, you are so intentional about the gift of 1,440 minutes you're granted every single day. How you spend that is determining the quality of your life. It is of utmost value. And yet, if you think about it, we live in a society where we completely overspend it. Remember, I talked about when we're overspending with money, there's tangible consequences. Like, you got to pay if you overspend. And there are consequences, and sometimes very severe consequences. Time, I don't want to say there's no consequences to overspending time, because of course there are, but they often aren't as tangible or maybe even sometimes as painful as they are with money. If you are wasting time, oftentimes nobody's going to come in and nobody's going to assign a late fee to you or anything like that. Like, you are free to spend your time for the most part. And I know that we still live in a world with jobs and all of that kind of stuff, but for the most part, you get to spend that 1,440 minutes any way you want. We live in a society where people are overspending, wasting it, numbing through time, distracting themselves with things that add absolutely no significance to life whatsoever. If you've ever stopped, maybe you're at a traffic light, and I will 1,000% admit I'm guilty of this. You're stopped at a traffic light, and what's the first thing you do? You grab for your phone. Maybe you're sitting at Starbucks kind of waiting in line and waiting for the barista to call your name, or that dreaded DMV line. What are people doing? Scroll, 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 check, check, check. Right? People, they've got time. And very rarely are people in tune or conscious to anything that's happening inside of them or around them. People are wasting and numbing through time as though they've got an endless supply. I would imagine that probably almost every person's dying wish would be to have a little bit more granted to them. Think about what they may do with 1,440 more minutes. They cannot get that back. If you had an opportunity to spend 1,440 minutes with a role model that you have, someone famous who's just kind of knocked your socks off, that you have so much respect or admiration or excitement about, how precious would that 1,440 minutes be if you had an opportunity to spend with perhaps not only just a role model, but maybe a deceased loved one, that you could be granted that ultimate wish of having that time back with them? How deliberate would you be if you're someone who's so mindful of spending every penny and every dollar? How mindful are you of the ways in which you're spending this time? I looked up a health system tracker was reported a statistic that said the average American lives about 78.6 years. Now, my friends, that's over 41 million minutes. You know, if I woke up and I knew that I was going to have about 78 years in this world, but I had $41 million to spend, my gosh, the freedom and the ease and the joy that would go through life. And yet, of course, none of us know how much time we actually have. But if we understand that there's kind of this vague perspective that we will get 78 years and 41 million minutes to spend, how do you think you would approach life? Are you as conscious and mindful of the minutes that you have to spend, or are you simply just kind of wasting and spending with things that absolutely don't matter? In my life coaching courses, where we actually gather live and in person here in Florence, Kentucky, there's one specific course that I offer called Balance. And during the course of that, we talk about several different topics to help people incorporate more balance in every area of their life. And one of the things that they do, they spend this entire month focused on their time. And I have them do a time budget tracker and have them track pen to paper, literally where their time is going. And it's interesting, the people who do that, they come back and they're like, oh my gosh, I knew I wasted a lot of time doing X, Y, and Z, or I spent how many hours doing what? People who actually take the time to budget and be mindful of where their time is going tend to be blown away. A lot of times people kind of haphazardly walk into that exercise and they're like, yeah, I know I overspend. Like, it's not that big of a deal. People who've actually done it I'm telling you, their mind is blown by the way that they are wasting time or spending a huge amount of time. It's kind of like going through your budget and realizing, like, I spend like $180 on cable. I don't even watch TV, right? Like, if you take the time to actually budget your time and look at where it's going, how many of those budgetary items are actually adding value? Are you getting the most bang for your buck by investing your time really well? Do you budget time the way that you budget your money? You could do yourself a huge favor by finding a time tracker. If you want one, email me. I will gladly send you the one that I offer to my clients. Pen to paper, an opportunity for one entire week to track where your time is actually going. My guess is you, very much like me, have a lot of time wasters. Are you a social media person? What is with these reels? How is it possible that I've just wasted 20 minutes watching absurdity, right? Like, where is your time going? Are you sucked into the abyss of social media? And then you walk away with this hangover effect of the time that you've wasted and the jealousy or comparison that you feel, right? Like, how valuable are you in terms of the time that you're spending? Are you lost in your news feed, in your email? What about work? Though it might be like your mortgage payment, right? Like, it's a huge portion of your budget in terms of work. What are you doing in terms of the value and how you're working? Are you working afterwards? What about texting in ways that you're kind of spending your time engaging in that type of activity, or even certainly scrolling, watching TV, gossip? If you've got any of these, perfectionism is another way that I watch people trying to perform or trying to perfect these things. All of these huge time wasters. Some obstacles that get in the way that might be adding to your time wasting, things like clutter, procrastination. Are you waiting till the 11th hour? If you're poor planning, if you're not really engaged in planning your week, your meals, the things that you need. I know for me, I take 20 seconds before I leave and I walk through my day, got everything okay. That 20 seconds probably saves me 20 minutes from having to drive back and forth. Are you poor planning and budgeting in that way? What about distractions? The way you allow yourself to be interrupted and caught off guard and off track. And again, that perfectionism. These are all things to look at. Okay? This is me being your budgetary, your time manager, to come in and go, we got to look at the ways that you're budgeting your time. So when we come back, we're going to talk about two other commodities. We've just shifted your focus from the idea of money. And I've granted you now this time and the realization of how much you actually have throughout the course of your life. When we come back on the Ally Effect, Authentically Living Life Your Way, we're going to dive deeper into two more commodities to help you change the course of how you're living and defining this thing called happiness and success. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Ober. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Ober. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyober.com. That's drkathyober.com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are limitations holding you back from living a powerful and authentic life? Are you able to see yourself and others through a lens of empathy and compassion? Tune into Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, to discover how to free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. Second and fourth Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, YouTube, and across all podcast stations. I'm on a mission to inspire a shift in you so together we can collectively heal the world. To learn more about me, visit RitikaRose.com.
Here we are back on the Allie Effect, Authentically Living Life Your Way, with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. A show about authenticity, and more specifically today, an episode about commodities and helping tune you in to three valuable components. We started to talk about money and the realization nobody needs to have an entire show to teach them about money. Like, I mean, there are shows about that. And at the same time, kind of this realization that we all really do know the value of money and how important it may be in life. My hope is that today you're granted some information about three other commodities that have absolutely nothing to do with money, and yet will fundamentally change the course of your life, the satisfaction and the joy that you actually have from spending these commodities so much more intentionally. So before the break, we talked about the commodity of time and the beauty of how you're spending it, and the ways that it can influence your spirit and the outcomes in your life. And we've even talked a little bit about the ways in which time is probably the one thing that people wish could be granted. And they often have a lot of regrets about the ways that they have spent it. So yeah, the commodity of time. We're going to talk about another one. We're going to talk about the energy. And this is a huge one for the clients that I work with in understanding how they're spending their energy. So if you think about energy being the mental and emotional space you allow someone or something to occupy in your life. So if you think about kind of like your attitude or your perspective about the people, places, and things, and how much space in your life you allow them to take up. I want you to imagine if you were trying to move into a house, or maybe you were trying to rent some office space, and I showed you a space, and it was really dark. It was pretty dingy, no windows around there. It was really dusty and kind of smelly and stuff. Like, if you would look around a space like that, you would kind of go, I don't want to set up camp here, right? It's terrible. It doesn't make me feel good. It's really dark. It's dirty. I wonder for you, like, how is your mental and emotional space? If you recognize your physical space and you realize the impact that maybe lighting or cleanliness and that kind of stuff, what about your spirit and the emotions and the thoughts that you entertain? So looking up quotes. So, you know, I always look up definitions, and oftentimes I will look up quotes to explore kind of these ideas of commodities or different topics that we're talking about. And I think I hit the jackpot when I found this quote. This one is from Ruth Stout, and I think she nailed it, because she says, when we contemplate buying something, we usually ask the price of it, and then we decide whether or not it is worth it to us. But when we expend time and energy, we often just go ahead and pay. I mean, isn't that really true? Most people, I know I do, I'll look at something, I'm like, oh, I really love that. And then I'll pick it up and I'm like, oh, whoa, that's really worth a lot. Or I wasn't intending to spend that much. Or, oh, what a bargain. And yet, so again, there's a money-minded commodity that says, pay attention to how much something costs. Have you ever stopped to assess how much something is costing you? If profit, and if we talked about time, and I was really helping you look at the ways, if you were going to do like a profit and loss for your time, and really gauging how valuable or the return on investment with your, the way you're spending your time, what I would encourage you to think about, maybe a different analogy, when you think about your energy, I want you to think about your fuel tank. That if somewhere on our body, we had this fuel tank to be able to gauge a concrete measurement or evidence of how much fuel we're spending and how much fuel we have left. Oftentimes, people will just engage in something. They'll do something, they'll go somewhere, they'll whatever, but they never really check to assess their fuel level, how much energy they're giving to a project, a person, a place. And they certainly don't think about how much they have. I know if my energy level, my tank level on days when I've worked and I've seen clients, man, my tank level is actually fairly low because I've given all of that throughout the day at work. Weekends, whole other ballgame, right? My tank remains fairly full because I'm doing different things to add fuel to that tank. How is your fuel tank? Do you ever have any type of measurement or evidence of where your energy is and how much you're spending on other people, places, and things? We don't have as concrete of a measurement tool or resource. Oftentimes, energy has more to do with your emotion or like your intuitive sense about things. It's much more of an internal gauge. I think about things like energetic expenditures. So again, if we were going to budget, I would kind of call your attention to things like worry, things that you get upset about, your patterns of like overthinking or planning things out. Maybe you're someone who borrows other people's trouble and you're gauging solutions for them and problem solving. Maybe you're actually engaging in conversation about all the things they need to be doing. Maybe you go out of your way for other people. You're very thoughtful. You're very considerate and kind to other people. I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just asking, how much energy are you spending in those patterns? Thoughtfulness, kindness, consideration for the sake of other people, places, and things. Are you running your tank way too low? The conversations that you engage in, do you extend loyalty beyond which loyalty is actually due in a relationship? Do you spend a lot of time explaining yourself and justifying what you're doing and why you're doing it? Do you have a tendency, and really this is such a huge emotion or energetic expenditure, are you personalizing a lot of things? Do you take things straight to heart? Do you work hard to please other people and make sure everyone else is okay? Do you spend a lot of time initiating and planning and putting things together, chasing after people who maybe don't really reciprocate any of that? You go out of your way to accommodate and make sure that things are all taken care of. Do you do a lot of attention or approval seeking? Are you up late at night thinking about, worrying about, problem solving for other people? Do you obsess about what's going on with them? I know just talking about those expenditures, my tank just went bloop. Where is your energy going? And then I would challenge you, why? Why are you exerting so much energy? It's like driving with the brake on. Like, why are you doing that type of thing? You might be very, very well intended. A lot of times people mistake some of these energetic expenditures as actually love. You may have the most beautiful motives of wanting people to be okay, making sure that things are taken care of and people don't struggle or suffer. But I would challenge you of how hard are you working on other people's issues? Are you actually working harder than they are on their own things? Remember, this is a show about authenticity. This is your space to be able to contemplate and to wrestle with this idea of who you really are in this world. How are you doing these things and why are you spending so much energy on other people, places, and things? Sometimes people will have a very horrified look when I say to them, have you ever assessed your return on investment? You are investing so heavily into those people, places, and things. Have you ever stopped to assess how much more they're filling your tank? I don't mean it has to be 50-50. I'm not encouraging people to be jerky or not kind or considerate. It's not what I mean. I'm talking about this over expense that sometimes people get into. The commodity of energy and learning to gauge and read your tank so much more accurately so that you can know how prepared and how suited up you are for the engagement with people, places, and things. So we've talked about time. We've talked about energy. Now we're going to talk about the third commodity. The third one being effort. And if energy is about the emotional and mental space that you allow someone to occupy, effort has to do more with the physical engagement, the practical ways that you are doing things for people or activities. It's about the lengths that you will go to help others, to please them, the lengths you will go to succeed, to land an account, to accomplish something, the ways that you will accommodate people or the ways that you will try to create an image or make an impression? Like, what are the lengths you are willing to go to in life? Now, please don't mistake. I am not talking about hard work. I am a business owner. I've been a business owner for a long time. I wrote a book during a pandemic and ran a full-time practice. Like, I am not talking about hard work. We're talking about determination and passion and being in service and beautifully aligned with your gifts. I think people, that is the essence of authenticity. I honor people who work hard and stay focused and are determined about who they are in the world and what they want to provide. I'm talking about the over-efforting. Sometimes my clients hate that word, efforting. Like, what are the lengths you are going to and the behaviors that you're engaging in and how hard you're willing to work for someone or something else? Maybe some examples of this type of over-expenditure include things like micromanaging. You're checking up and checking in on other people, kind of minding their side of the street with things. Maybe you're even someone who's trying to control outcomes, even for the best of reasons. If you're trying to get things to go a certain way because you think that's how they should go, or people to do certain things, it's a lot of efforting that you might be overspending. Maybe you're assuming responsibilities that are simply not yours. You're stepping into territory that you don't belong in. You're cleaning up other people's messes without holding them accountable to create change. Maybe you're someone who really prides yourself in multitasking, and I hate to tune you into the reality that that's actually a fallacy, that it's multitasking, though you might believe you're very good at it, your efficiency actually goes down because the brain can't multitask. It goes in different directions and gets slightly less productive. Maybe you're engaging in lots of after-hour works and tasks. I would challenge you, why? Why are you doing that? Are you the one who's always initiating contact and activities and holidays? Are you the one that's always driving or paying for things? You're doing all of the apologizing and gathering and all these acts of service. None of these are inadvertently wrong. I would just simply challenge you to look at your motives and the frequency of why you're doing these and how often you're doing them. So we started talking about money. We moved into the reality of time. And now we've talked about energy and effort. When we come back, we'll wrap all of this up and help you understand the importance of spending these three commodities: time, energy, and effort. You are listening to The Allie Effect, Authentically Living Life Your Way, with me, Allison Blythe. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after a short break.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Living Excellently. Become your masterpiece, aligned in heart, mind, and spirit with Gina T. Joining Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show is changing the world with an essence of love, joy, compassion, and grace. Spiritual coach Gina T helps guide you to live life generously, love lavishly, and trust unconditionally. For more information, visit GinaTCoach.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby.
So we're back here on The Allie Effect, authentically living life your way with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. We've covered a lot of terrain as we tend to do in these shows. You know, it's like we go so much below the surface and really kind of dive deep. If you want to be in touch with me, please don't hesitate to reach out. I am at 859-341-7773. Send me an email so I can hear your stories or answer your questions at AllisonBlythe@live.com. And again, any social media platform at Allison Blythe Life Coach. This idea of commodities and helping you understand though we are a very money-minded society that prioritizes the way and how much people earn, I am tuning you in today to three more valuable commodities of time, energy, and effort, and helping you be so mindful. You're walking this walk of authenticity and the ways that you spend time, energy, and effort, and helping you understand why are you doing these things and how much are they costing you? How much are they adding value? If these things are adding value to you and to the world, rock on. I applaud you and all of your efforts and all of the tasks that you're doing, the ways that you're spending time. However, if you are kind of finding yourself tipping into terrain where you are starting to recognize that you are just spent, in my book, Misunderstood, I write about this term called fed upness. If you are at the point where you are just feeling fed up, exhausted, depleted, overwhelmed, maybe you've got a strong sense of like anxiety and stress, and you're just irritable and impatient, maybe some of your symptoms have kind of advanced into some somatic or some body symptoms or even insomnia. Life is trying to tell you something. It is trying to, like maybe the collector knocking at your door going, hey, why are you doing all these things? You've got to stop overspending. I am here as this, in the same fashion as your accountant, so to speak, of your time, energy, and effort to say, what are you doing? Why are you over budgeting? And why are you not assessing return on investment with these types of things? My hope is that when offering you some perspective about time, energy, and effort, you can begin to budget so much more effectively and really enhance your sense of satisfaction, happiness, and joy in your world. If you're noticing any of those symptoms that I was just referring to, I would encourage you to check your commodities. What's up? Why is that happening? Why are you overspending? Sometimes people will say, I just feel so guilty. I always feel like I have to do some of these things. Maybe it's just your habit. Your role models might have really demonstrated a strong sacrificial element. Maybe that's how they loved or rewarded you for being good and kind and considerate. Maybe you have a lot of fear. Sometimes people do these things because they're terrified of what might happen if they don't spend their time, energy, and effort in certain ways. Maybe that's an entire other element that needs to be addressed. Maybe you're just confused, like you had no idea that these were the budgetary items that you needed to pay attention to. We don't often say things in terms of people. We do educate them on money, and yet rarely are we educating people on the use of their time, energy, and effort. So maybe you've just been confused and really misaligned with things. Honestly, it could be a social or cultural or religious message about what being good or being kind and thoughtful really looks like. We're going to clear out more of those messages and kind of wipe clean the slate so that you can take some responsibility for the way that you're spending your time, energy, and effort. So the question that I actually received was, what's the most important commodity? Well, I kind of gave it away in the very beginning when I was really stressing the importance of time and being able to understand that it is by far the most valuable, because quite frankly, we can never, ever, ever get it back. And because of that, to me, you certainly are free to define whatever your most valuable commodities. I'm simply offering my perspective. And if for you it is money, then that's totally fine too. But for me, I know that the more deliberate and intentional I am, or I help my clients to be, about spending their time completely changes the course of their life. What's your experience? As you become mindful of these commodities that we've talked about, I would love to hear about things that you're calling into your own attention. If you really were conscious of your budgetary items, what are the ways that you're spending that you feel really excited about? Maybe you want to grow those expenses, so to speak. Maybe you want to grow all of those efforts and really be conscious of your time, energy, and effort going in certain ways. Maybe you've become really conscious of like, what am I doing? And why am I doing that? I want to stop. That's my hope, is that you start to become so much more mindful. The second part of that question was, how do I start budgeting? And I actually have a couple things that I was thinking about. Like, what are the tools and the resources that you can begin to use as you start to budget more effectively on your time, energy, and effort? The first one, if you've ever worked with me for 5 seconds, you know that I'm probably going to tune you into self-awareness. The more aware, if you've got these feelings and this sense of overwhelm or dread, or self-awareness is like, what are you doing and why are you doing it? It's the ability to actually tune in. Another tool that is so critical that I will actually really emphasize, especially for this episode, is the idea of self-defining. I know for me, defining happiness probably looks very different than maybe some people would define it, or even the traditional sense of happiness. Have you ever taken the time to define for yourself, what does happiness and success really look like? One more time, pen to paper, identifying and exploring what are the ways that you are actually trying to build happiness and success, love, family, whatever it is. And how are you spending your time that will allow you to use your time, energy, and effort to align with what you most define? So self-awareness, self-define. The third thing is self-honesty. People BS themselves all the time. It's interesting to watch the stories that they will tell themselves. And what is it that you need to be honest with? If you're wasting your time and you're scrolling, or you know for sure you're not putting forth effort, we talked about overspending. Maybe you're not putting forth effort. Last time we talked about the visioning. Maybe you've got all these lofty dreams and you know that you are just wasting your time and you are wasting your effort. This is kind of your self-honesty call that aligns very clearly with the next tool, which is self-responsibility. The idea that you begin to take responsibility for the ways in which you're spending your time, your energy, and your effort, that you're honest with yourself, you're aware of how you're doing it, you've defined more successful, you create your own budget for these things, and you're honest about the ways that you've been spending, and you start to take some responsibility for the ways that these are not working, and you start to align yourself so much more with the ways that they are. Those are the tools and the tips I would recommend, that as you start to budget all of those commodities so much more mindfully, this is my call to you, my friends, the SOS call, stop overspending. I would encourage you that you become mindful of these commodities for maybe a few days, maybe a few weeks. Remember, I said that, you know, if we spent an entire month together and you were granted all of this, maybe an entire year, my encouragement to you is to spend wisely, my friends. It will fundamentally change the course of your life, the ways in which you're spending your time, energy, and effort. This is a show about authenticity. How would you say that you're aligned with your true sense of self in the way that you're engaging in your thoughts, your feelings, your behaviors, and how true they are aligned with these commodities? So lots of good information. If you want to be in touch with me and share anything about your journey of these commodities, you know that you can always reach me and some of those resources I've provided. But you are listening to The Allie Effect, Authentically Living Life Your Way. It's been my honor and my privilege to hold this space with you. Every month you can join me the first and third Thursday of every single month as we kind of talk about this concept of authenticity and helping you have different techniques and portions of education for you to pull away and be able to say, yes, these are the ways that I want to build authentically living life your way. Today, we talked about the commodities, time, energy, and effort, and how to help you align so much more with authenticity. Be in touch with me and feel free to join me again on the next episode. Be well, my friends.
Thanks for tuning in to The Ally Effect with Allison Blythe. The moment you decide to take control of your own well-being, you start the journey of authenticity. Tune in next time for more empowering conversations and practical tools to help you shed your fear, worry, comparison, and less-than beliefs. Stick with us as you step into the driver's seat and head off onto the road of success and happiness. Your best life awaits.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.